Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have Michael A. Colacci on the line, and we're going to be talking about the problems, the occult symbology that is infiltrating the church, specifically the Catholic Church. Is that right, Michael?
Yeah, that's correct. The Catholic Church, unfortunately. Organizations that are... I should say thanks for having me on the show first, Dr. Stan. I appreciate it. But yes, the Catholic Church has organizations that are associated with it, which are certain archdioceses and publishers and networks. And there are people, unfortunately, within these networks that have, let's say, succumbed to using certain types of occult symbology, demonic references, and other things within the artwork that they use.
Now, right now, are you a Catholic or a Protestant?
I'm actually a Catholic myself.
All right, fine, because we have the same problems within the Protestant religion. So I want our Catholic listeners to know we're not picking on Catholics. We just want you to know that these forces of evil permeate everything, but if you don't know that they're there, you're not going to recognize them. So how did you get interested in this subject, Michael?
Well, actually, I come from a long line of artists, Italian artists to be specific, and I'm no different. It's in the genes. I have over 35 credits as an actor, director, writer, producer, director of photography, and I've been trained in the arts and various things. And 20 years ago, in addition to that, I was trained in certain psychology classes regarding elements of the occult and hidden imagery, embedded imagery, camouflaged imagery in art, and I thought it was absolutely fascinating. But this was 20 years ago, and the professors of today don't seem to want to teach this any further. But me being an artist, I actually continued to study it for the past 20 years, and became very good at finding the embeds. I think that the artists who actually use this type of technique in their work, especially in advertising, I've become more brash because the art itself is becoming much easier to see. It's supposed to be embedded. It's supposed to be meant strictly for the subconscious mind. However, it's becoming so fast to see now that the conscious mind, which is slightly behind the subconscious or unconscious mind, is picking up the images at a faster rate, which is, for somebody like me, is easier to see. For most people, though, the images are not seen right away consciously because they're only taking a sort of a snapshot at the artwork itself, 1 or 2 seconds, and it requires a bit more time and staring to actually see the images come to life.
Well, you know, there was a man named Manly P. Hall. He was a Satanist. He wrote one of the classic books on this called The Secret Teachings of All Ages, and he talked about just what you're talking about, how within art you would have all these embedded secret symbols and people wouldn't see them. Dan Brown's book, The Da Vinci Codes, although certainly it's a blasphemous book, he talks about this same sort of thing, and he's absolutely right. He understands what's going on. Of course, his conclusion Jesus Christ had an affair with Mary Magdalene, and that was the basis of the Merovingian bloodline is totally fallacious. But they're there, ladies and gentlemen. Whether you read Ron Brown's book, you'll see that, although I don't recommend that you read the book. But that's why I think I really wanted to have a Michael A. Colacci. Colacci, is it?
It's Colacci, actually.
Colacci.
Yeah, it's a tough name, I know.
All right, fine. I wanted to have him with us today to talk about this. We're going to be back in just a moment. It's important that you recognize what we're dealing with. We're dealing with organized evil on a scale beyond the comprehension of the finite mind. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Well, this afternoon we have with us Michael A. Colazzi, and we're talking about embedded occult symbols in art, specifically within the Catholic Church. And not just art, but actually every place. And Michael himself is a Catholic. He's an artist. He's certainly been trained in this sort of thing. But he is deeply disturbed to see this influence permeating so much of the Catholic Church today. And as I pointed out to him in my introductory remarks, if you were looking for it, you'll find it within the Protestant Church as well. Because, of course, the enemy of evil is Christianity. And whether it be Catholic or Protestant, why, they're out to destroy both, and they sort of gloat about being able to have their art every place, and you don't even see it. I pointed out this is what Ron Brown talks about in his book, The Da Vinci Codes, and he's absolutely right. The rest of the book is trash, but he's absolutely right. The symbols are there. Manly P. Hall, who wrote The Secret Teachings of All Ages, described it. I even talked about it in my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, and opened that with that description. So will you pick up the story from there, Michael?
Well, essentially what happened is I am a producer with Silver Sword International, which is a motion picture production company, and I had written a full-featured family-oriented screenplay that we're filming in Toronto, Ontario. And we were setting up to film in Toronto, Ontario, and we had to receive permission to actually shoot scenes in Catholic churches in the Archdiocese of Toronto. To make a long story short regarding this, we were declined permission. This is a film, Intimate Fear is what it's called. Intimate Fear is a family film about a dysfunctional family and how this family actually tries to get back on track, including a method of spirituality, looking to God and friends and what have you. The kind of film that all Christians would want to take their family to go and see at the theater. So we found it incredibly surprising that the Archdiocese of Toronto, the largest archdiocese in Canada, fifth largest city in the North American continent, would do this. So I decided to perform an investigation, and I found out that they had been using demonic, or I call satanic pornography and occult imagery, demonic imagery, in their internet communications and on free calendars that they actually gave out at churches beginning in January 1st this year. When I found these images, it didn't take me long, which I said earlier, it's a lot easier now after, say, 20 years ago, it's a little harder for the embeds to be seen, but now it's a little bit easier. In fact, some of the images are not even embedded. The artist that actually did one of these for the Archdiocese, a Frenchman named Berger, actually painted an original painting, which was requested and...
Hold that thought right there, Michael. We're going to bring our stations on board again. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Michael A. Colazzi, and we're talking about, he's shooting a film, actually, up in Toronto, Canada, and they wanted to use one of the Catholic churches there. The Archdiocese wouldn't allow them to film in the Catholic Church. This is a family film. And so then as Michael began looking into what was going on, he found out that the satanic influence had permeated so many of the things that they were actually distributing within the Catholic Church in the Toronto area, and he actually found it was in the calendars that they were putting out?
Yeah, that's correct. Throughout the internet images and as well as calendars, they gave free calendars out at Mass, which is often what happens as a Catholic. I remember even as a child, you know, in the last couple of months of the year, give out free calendars. However, the Archdiocese of Toronto waited for January 1st, which is actually a feast day in the Catholic calendar, the Solemnity of the Virgin Mary, and they handed out these churches calendars called Church Art 2004. And the calendars were filled with images that, I mean, just incredible images. For one, a snake head on the sleeve of what's supposed to be Jesus Christ. A giant phallic symbol hanging out of the chest of what's supposed to be Jesus Christ. And various other faces and other images, which are occult images and techniques used by artists to embed, to indoctrinate, the classic things that have been happening in religious circles for hundreds of years. It's just continuing now, and I found out the reason why that the Archdiocese did not want to have a family film. No profanity or graphic or adult sexual situations and violence, just a family film that everybody can go and see. People are thirsting to see, especially Christians, and I knew that something was wrong and had to investigate and found out that this is what was happening. It just so happens that I've been trained in a specific type of art, and I knew how to see it and decipher it, and once I did, I came to the conclusion that that had to be the reason why, and I did warn them, but it's one of these things where an organization that's connected with the Catholic Church, as the Archdiocese of Toronto is, cannot, it's one of these things where they can't confirm nor deny. They're afraid to say, oh goodness, look what we've done, we're caught. So we're at this point now where we're educating the public to what's, you know, what's gone on. And worst of all, since I'm an American, I thought there might be images within the United States somewhere. So on my trip back to New York, I had decided to check on the Oregon Catholic Press, which is the largest supplier of worship materials of the Catholic churches in the United States. In fact, they supply two-thirds of the Catholic churches in the United States. And sure enough, at Mass, while my little children, I have four little children, were playing with the missals and hymnals in the pews of a church in Westchester, New York, just outside of New York City, I noticed that there was indeed, once again, satanic pornography, demonic images, 666s, painted right inside the artwork, the cover art, of the Oregon Catholic Press. I was planning on checking them anyway, but my little daughter ended up turning it to me, and I saw it right there at Mass. So it continued from that point. It became, boy, this is actually now incredibly widespread, because they're right inside the pews of the churches in the United States.
Now, you know, it's very interesting, and there's been a lot in the paper recently about, well, they found out this sexual pornography on the Internet over there in a seminary in Austria. And most people sit back and say, well, that's over at a seminary in Austria. Well, this permeates every aspect of both the Catholic and the Protestant Church. We've had, I don't know if you know Malachi Martin, but we had Malachi Martin as a guest many times before he met an untimely death. And he talked about the satanic ceremonies actually being carried out symbolically within the church. Of course, this doesn't represent the whole church, but it represents the evil forces that are there. And it's almost like they put the art forms out there saying, ha ha, you're not going to see them. The average individual isn't going to understand, but we understand. The insiders understand. Do you have that feeling? It's almost like it's in your face and you're really not capable of understanding what's really going on?
I agree 100%, Dr. Stan. That is exactly the way I feel, because it was the brash arrogance that actually led me to discover these scandals, uncover them to begin with. It was the brash arrogance of the Archdiocese of Toronto's declination letter, which said things inside the letter that led me directly to the paintings to begin with. It's an in-your-face, almost an advertisement, a portal. When using it on the Internet, it's almost like people, it's an advertisement where the whole world now can go on the Internet and they can see that, hey, look, the Archdiocese of Toronto is part of the body, or look what they have on there. I mean, there are 166 images that I found alone in just one painting from the Archdiocese of Toronto, after studying it, of course, and at least a couple dozen that people can see, you know, right away. That is true. It's a brash arrogance. It's an in-your-face. It's a, look, ha-ha, that's what we have. We have these guys, and that's the way that it is. And there's nothing that you can do, because it's a specialty art. It actually is rocket science to the average person who is not trained in this particular type of art. Even other artists have a hard time in seeing how the images need to be deciphered. But it's really just a matter of time. In addition to that, a matter of time for looking at them. In addition to that, the images themselves are also available in different places, not just in not just via the internet, like I mentioned, not just in the books, but in different places within organizations that are within the Catholic Church. And the third place that I found it was the Global Catholic Network, EWTN, the Eternal Word Television Network, which I've been actually watching for years. I just took a break for lunch, went on the internet, turned it on my internet to see the daily mass. As I mentioned, I'm a Catholic. And as it was loading up, there was a picture of St. Michael the Archangel spearing the devil, famous picture done by many artists over the centuries. But this one was different, because St. Michael's cloak had a giant ghost face on it. It had profanity on the sleeve, actually the wing of St. Michael, under its left wing. It had the big one, the big F word, and then the letter U next to it. And the word sex was printed on the devil's head that he was spearing, along with phallic symbols and other pictures as well. This is right on the artwork, right on EWTN. And I warned them to stop, but of course they didn't stop either, and so we have now several paintings that they continue to use for their same situation on their site. So it turned out that we have a trend. You know it's a trend. It's been going on for a long time. This is sort of a new thing that people haven't understood, but they need to understand. Not only is it brash arrogance, not only is it in your face, ha-ha, look what we have, but it is harmful, because the programming effects are not noticeable by the person consciously. These things are meant to be seen by the unconscious or the subconscious mind, and it definitely does affect the person The test for that would be walking into a room or walking down the street. Your eyes see everything. You see the trees, the street, the person walking a dog next to you, everything. But you don't necessarily remember consciously everything you saw. But your eyes did see it. Your brain did photograph it. And that's unconscious thought or subconscious thought and memory. The consciousness means that you actually have to pinpoint and look right in that person's eyes walking the dog or right at the dog itself and then remember it, and then that's the way that God made us, because if not, you'd go berserk with all the information you'd have just by looking at one particular scene within your eyes. So the artists actually use that to their advantage by making sure that if they embed the images, if they make them take time for them to come out and for you to see them, that because the conscious mind is behind in time, and it's going to be seen unconsciously first, then they will succeed at programming evil and these images within your mind, and doing it in a religious nature, seeing Jesus, in these particular acts, seeing profanity, violence, devil, 666, occult symbols, pentagrams, goat's heads, amazing things that are inside it, and sex. And sex sells, as you know. The stimulation combined with the evil in a place that's supposed to be trusted is absolutely horrible for somebody to ingest in their own psyche, in their own subconscious mind.
And of course, it's every place and every one of those images is indelibly implanted in your mind. And it was Alexander Pope who said, "No vice is a monster of such horrible mien as to be hated is but to be seen, but seen too oft, too familiar with her face, we first endure and then tolerate and then embrace." And all of those images are being implanted in the minds of our children. And I'm sure there's similar things that are happening in the Protestant church as well. You have to understand that the devil is after the souls of our children. And they're doing a good job. And unless you understand, unless you can protect them from this sort of thing, you really are going to lose your children. This is one of the most horrible things that can happen. But they're really after the heart, minds, and souls of our children. That's why they're doing what they're doing in the schools. That's what they're doing, in the churches. That's why they're Hollywood. The whole purpose of Hollywood is to destroy Christianity. We have a wonderful video I've told you about called The Gods of Entertainment. And actually it shows us interview of Diane Sawyer and Mel Gibson, who's a good Catholic, and he's talking about the dark and sinister demonic forces that are out there trying to block his putting together his video. And Diane Sawyer looks at him and says, "What do these demonic forces want?" And Mel Gibson looks at her and says, "You." And that's what it's really all about, ladies and gentlemen. Mel Gibson put it right as it should be said, and I really think the beauty of his film is he demonstrates the evil that permeated the Jewish society at that time, all of society, but certainly at that time in history, when Jesus went to the cross, the devil was there. And I think really what you're trying to get out, Michael, is so vitally important. But how can you get people to understand it? Because the average person really doesn't even believe in evil today. Certainly in the Protestant church, we don't talk about Satan, that he's there. He's after their very souls. Why you talk about it like that? You'd be laughed right out of the church. How about the Catholic church?
Well, to tell you the truth, we don't really talk too much about Satan and evil as much as we should. Once in a while, a priest will get off a terrific line, and you'd have to really pay attention to make sure that you heard that line. I remember one priest in Canada, in Montreal area, said that he sort of related things to government, because he mentioned that Satan is out there not only to corrupt, but to control and intimidate, and that's essentially what a lot of governments do today as well. So he was making a little bit of an analogy, but it's tough to hear those things from a priest when it comes to Satan and evil. But you're right about children as well. The children themselves, including my kids, have these things aimed right at them. In fact, the Oregon Catholic Press, what I noticed in church itself, that cover on the music issue was a very colorful, cartoon-like, exploding red cross. I mean, you'd never see a cross like this. It was an exploding red cross, and it turns out that it's actually the head of a demon, and it's top of its head is exploding into three areas with more heads and faces inside there, and a 666. Right aimed right at kids, because it's colorful, or they know kids are going to play with those things when they're very young in church. Definitely aimed at kids. Even the paintings are cartoon-like, they're colorful, they're red.
Hold that thought right there, we're going to have to go to a break here at Radio Liberty.
A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working with an organized medicine both at the state and national level, and the tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Michael A. Colossi, and we're talking about the occult symbology that he's found within publications of the Catholic Church. He's found it on Catholic websites, and it's there, and you have to understand that every one of those images that you see is indelibly imprinted in your subconscious, and older people like myself are not going to be that influenced by it, but believe me, our children will be. And they will never forget those images, and they know exactly what they're doing. But where is the outcry from the church? It's really almost deafening in its silence. And so what are you trying to do, Michael? Are you trying to get people to understand? Have you talked to the officials here in any of the dioceses here in the United States?
Well, actually, I spoke directly with a Monsignor at the Canadian Conference of Catholic Bishops, Monsignor Peter Schoenbach, and he helped guide me. He handles sexual abuse cases in Canada. He helped guide me to try to get the word to Cardinal Ambrosic, who is the Cardinal of the Archdiocese, Archbishop in the Archdiocese of Toronto. I did send the Cardinal a letter. I don't think he knows what was going on. I believe because he has a couple of people essentially running his Archdiocese in a more progressive sort of fashion, that he did not know the extent or the beginnings of this scenario that's played out since 1999. That's when that first painting was ordered by them. He helped guide me. But there's no answer, because you put something in writing and then associate it with the Catholic Church, then there's liability issues. So the only way really to get things going here is to make sure that the educational process is real. And we just decided on July 7th that we have the rights. We have the story rights to this particular investigation, which took me many months to uncover. And we're going to put it together. I've been asked to do a feature documentary. For once and for all, people, regular people, need to understand and be educated to find out how the images can be brought to life. And what we're going to do is we're going to use digital technology to actually break apart the pictures and take the embeds right in front of your eyes, right out of them, so they're right in front of you, very easy to see, and identify them for you. Because when I'm sitting next to somebody on a computer and I have the image sitting right there, I don't need to use any digital effects whatsoever. I'm just pointing at them, and people can say, oh yeah, look at that, the face of the devil, 666, goat's head, ram's head, pentagram, all these things are in there, and sexual symbols and what have you. But for a person to look at it themselves, it's a lot harder to do so, because the educational process has just sort of died over the past 20 years. People just don't see it. They don't get it. They need help. We're going to put that together in a tremendous story of how the thing came to be and how the story worked and the investigations and the different places of what happened. It's a very interesting story. I have a tremendous amount of notes and quotes from various different people, and a lot of non-action, as you mentioned. Priests aren't going to come out and say anything about it because they might incriminate themselves. They might bring lawsuits. There's a lot of things still up in the air because this is very fresh news. The press releases were read by hundreds of thousands of people. It was measured on PR Web. And so we're going to come out with a story. We're going to, in the middle of putting together a feature film, we're going to put a feature documentary on exactly what the findings are and educate everybody so they know once and for all what to look for, how it affects you, and what happened, and how the story relates to it at the same time. So we'll see those pictures deciphered, and then you could do it as yourself as a professional. Because this is in the church. This is going into the pews of a church, sitting down, and you're having the sign of the beast, Satan's signature, right in front of you. Right there, right in front of you. You're looking up and you're seeing a mural, something was painted in the 60s or 70s, and there are what I call MSDs, morphed smirking devils. They're right in there. I mean, it's hard. You've seen them, you know how it looks, but most people look at it and they don't see anything and they dismiss it. And one of the greatest forms of dismissal in their mind is, hey, this is related to the Catholic Church or Protestant Church or any religious organization. They're not supposed to be doing this. It's a mirage. I don't see anything. And they turn away. But these pictures are so harmful, they're not only to the person viewing them, but so harmful for the Archdiocese and the Oregon Catholic Press, EWTN, and others to use them, because we have the pictures. We have the evidence. It's right there. You can't miss it. You can't deny it. Everybody, if you ask them to draw the face of the devil, they'd probably draw a red face with horns sticking out of it. Well, guess what? There's a red face with horns sticking out of it right smack there on the Archdiocese of Toronto. I mean, it's very easy for people to see, but we're going to decipher it for folks, and we're going to make sure that they get a chance to learn how it works and learn how it affects them.
Well, I think it's really so vitally important what you are doing. How soon will the film be out?
Well, the thing is, right now at the moment, we have it in developmental stage. We're putting together a package, and we're going to be submitting the package, and we're going to make sure that it's seen in various different formats. What I'd like to do is put it in theaters in the major hotspots of where this occurred, and then go from there, DVD, and make sure that people get a chance to understand what it's all about.
Well, you're going to have a hard time getting it distributed, but Mel Gibson could do it, and maybe he might even be interested in helping you. He's obviously a very sincere individual who recognizes what's going on far better than most people. We'll be back here in just a moment, here at Radio Liberty.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam and Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 on the route down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. And this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book anywhere that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and a few weeks ago, Kevin DeMeritt of Lear Financial contacted us and asked if he could sponsor some of our programs. Well, I looked into the background of the company. They have an excellent reputation, so I think it's a good time to think very seriously about investing in precious metals. Why? Because we have inflation, we have a progressively devalued dollar, and we've lost almost 30-40% of our value of our currency, and we know that people like Warren Buffett are investing overseas. They're not investing in American currencies. Why not give the people at Lear Financial a call at 1-888-302-7111, that's 1-888-302-7111, and ask for their free audio seminar. Again, the number 1-888-302-7111. I think this is an excellent time to consider protecting your assets.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
And this is Dr. Stan. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and our guest this afternoon is Michael A. Colossi, and we have Jeanette calling in from Watsonville. Hi, Jeanette. How are you doing?
Hi. Fine. How are you?
Fine. What did you think of this program?
Oh, I think it's great. I'm Roman Catholic, and I have returned to the Latin Mass.
Do you have somebody over there doing the Latin Mass?
Well, they're in Los Gatos. I have to drive an hour. Some people drive 3 hours to attend these masses, and it's the real mass. Evil. Our priests are not afraid to talk about evil. Freemasonry. What's happening in the so-called modern church, and more Catholics are beginning to realize that there's something wrong with these churches, and they go with me to attend my mass.
All right, baby.
I'm really glad to hear this, man. I've been working outside. If I sound like I'm out of breath, I'm really glad to hear your guest here, because I know I've walked into some of our new churches, like, you know, in Santa Cruz County, Dr. Stan. I feel sick, and I have to turn around and go out.
Well, maybe we get one of those priests to come over and on one of our programs some evening. It sounds like somebody would find a great deal of an agreement with. Michael, how would you respond to Jeanette?
Well, I think that the Latin Mass is becoming more popular. Mel Gibson built his own church, and he's not necessarily part of the church any longer. I mean, Christianity is interesting in the sense that we already know the answers. We know what's supposed to happen. We know how it's going to end. We just don't know exactly when, but we do know that there is evil within the church, as Pope Paul VI said, the smoke of Satan has entered into the temple of God 32 years ago, he said that,
right.
And that's a heck of a lot of smoke over 32 years. So
yes, I agree.
You know, we have to understand that people need to be educated and understand that there is evil in the church, and that when you look at people just because they happen to have a collar or a habit or they're standing next to you in church, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're your brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
You have to keep your eyes open. You have to know and be educated to know through sanctifying grace, as we say in the Catholic Church, the intuition, that sometimes it's people are not who they seem to be. And evil often looks good. It always looks good, or else it would never get anywhere. So I think you're doing the right thing, and I'm more of a traditional Catholic myself. I have been to Latin Mass. There just aren't enough around. I wish there were.
Okay,
that's
fine.
Right.
Anything else to that?
And yeah, I'm one of the people who's ridiculed. But you know what? So be it. I've talked with a lot of people who call they would rather call the Latin Mass the old Mass and wear the new, and like wear, it's ego also involved, I think. But anyway, wonderful program. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jeanette. And our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you agree or disagree, that's what talk radio is really all about. Well, Michael, you know, what sort of response are you getting? Are you getting laughed out by some of your contemporaries within the Catholic Church?
Well, we have all kinds of responses. As a matter of fact, on our website, we have an opinion polling survey, which we've had for a long time, and the various different things. Essentially, remember that we were getting ready to shoot Intimate Fear, which is a family film, had nothing to do with the scandals. It just happened to happen right in the smack in the middle of setting up the production for the film that we had it happen. So we turned around our opinion polling surveys and asked people what they think. And we get things from both sides, even emails from both sides. Which are, you know, I can't see anything, this is impossible, this is involved within the church itself, it's attached to the church, it can't be, and there's a lot of that. There are some traditional Catholics who know that there's evil out there, and they really want to be educated. I've been asked now a bunch of times, you have to make a documentary, you have to do a documentary, we have the rights to the story, and we've decided to do so, incredibly right in the middle of setting up a feature film. So we have to find a way to do this, to make sure, it is important to make sure that we do complete a feature documentary on the story and make sure that people are out there to see it. But the response is the same. Everywhere you go, they need to be educated. People can see the obvious things. They could see, I'll say a few things, I hope I'm not being too graphic, but I mean, there are a lot of sexual things. There are people grabbing their private parts in one of the pictures. It's very easy to see this. On the leg of one of the people that's doing this, there's a gigantic sperm, the size of the thigh of the person, and the sperm head has a face with a long nose sticking out looking into where the person's grabbing for the sexual reference. Now, most people, again, they're going to eliminate this thought process consciously because sperm isn't that big. Why would it be on the leg? This is a religious photo. Why is the head of the sperm have a smiley face? So you're actually thinking these things unconsciously, and you're not thinking of them consciously, so you dismiss them. But actually pointing it out, you could actually see, why look at that, there's a giant sperm on the guy's leg, just as an example. And on the guy's sleeve, there's the profile of a ram's head, with an evil ram's head, which we know that rams, goat's heads, and these types of things are occult symbols, right smack on the guy's sleeve. So there are mixed in with the embeds are actual conscious images, which again people are dismissing because of the trust in the religious scenario that they have at hand, because it is supposed to be a religious painting.
But of course, things are many times what not they appear to be and of what they're supposed to be. Well, let's go to Ken, who's calling us from Seal Beach. Hi, Ken, how are you doing?
Pretty good.
Here's question or comment?
Okay, yes. What I want to say is that how could it be that not one Catholic priest has turned in another Catholic priest, or no one in the hierarchy of the Catholic Church has ever turned in a Catholic priest for molesting young boys? I mean, I find this to be unbelievable, and we're talking about going back 50 years.
All right.
How is this possible?
Let's get Michael's a response to that. And Ken, are you coming from a Catholic or Protestant point of view?
Protestant.
Okay, fine. That's all right. It's a fair question.
No, it's a good question.
Okay.
Good question, and the reason why that is because, I mean, there is an unwritten rule. The priests are brothers. They don't speak out against each other. I can't make it any bluntly. I mean, I was raised in the Catholic faith. I was an altar boy, 14 years of Catholic school. In addition to that, I'm a certified catechist, which is a religion teacher at the Archdiocese of Brooklyn, Queens, in New York, and I've taught confirmation, grammar school kids, high school kids. I know how it works. No priest is ever going to stand up and turn in another priest.
But he should.
He should. He should do it, but he's not going to. I mean, we have a problem with shortages of priests. There is no question about it, a problem with the homosexuality within the seminaries
right.
around the world. There's nothing new in Austria. They just have pictures. That's all that happened there. They got caught with the pictures. If they didn't have the pictures, it just would have continued on. It happens everywhere. I've been told confidentially by other priests that, you know, they estimate maybe 40 to 50% of the priests would, if they had to check a box, they'd check off that they're a homosexual.
That's what I heard.
I'm sorry?
Yes. Those are the statistics that I've heard.
No, you're correct. Yeah. You're correct. It's really hard to get around them, but what I hear from the priests in the Catholic Church, or what we understand, and I'm being very blunt and honest here, is that not? It does exist, but it's not practicing. So you see, you can be a homosexual priest, but you can't be a practicing homosexual priest. So that's essentially the way the rule goes. If you're not a practicing homosexual, then you're essentially maybe homosexual, but you're not practicing, so therefore you're not homosexual.
Right. And however, there's such a high percentage of homosexuals in the church. That's why there's such a high percentage of molestation of young boys. I mean, it's a one-to-one correlation.
Ken, you're absolutely right, and I think that Michael has conceded your point. We got problems in the Protestant church, too. You know, there's some statistics that show almost 50% of ministers have a problem with pornography, so what we're pointing out is that we got problems in Christendom as a whole, and the devil is trying to destroy it.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, anything else, Ken?
No, that's it.
God bless. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And, I agree. In fact, anybody out there who has not heard our four-tape set, we have a four-tape set, The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. You need to get that four-tape set, and you need to listen to it. It's really an eye-opener. It's aimed primarily at Catholics, because Malachi Martin was a Catholic, and he was so deeply concerned about what was happening in the Catholic Church. He was trying to sound a warning to the Catholics, just like I'm trying to sound a warning to the Protestants, but of course this permeates all of Christendom. So, Michael, what's the next step? Are you just about ready to go into production?
We were just about ready to go into production with Intimate Fear. Because of the scheduling snafu that has happened within the Archdiocese of Toronto allowing us to film, we have a shoot-around cast, which means that all of our cast players, all of the talent has to be at certain places at a certain time, and it actually threw a bit of a wrench into the exact scheduling, so it's causing slight delays here and there. We are possibly thinking now, we opened a third office in Chicago, we're thinking of possibly, since we had exterior scenes in Chicago to be planned anyway, because the film actually takes place in Chicago, Intimate Fear does, that we may be doing some of the church scenes here. So we have to look at our schedule very carefully and see how Intimate Fear would draft and redo our schedule quite possibly in Toronto and in Chicago. In the middle of all of that, as a Catholic, as a Christian, I mean, as a family man, as a father of 15 years, I have four young children, I know something that people don't know. Tens of millions of people in the Catholic faith have been exposed to these pictures, and they've been programmed by them, period. That's just no way around it. I have the proof. I know how to decipher it, and I think God's asking me to tell people not only how to decipher it, that it's there, but to make sure that it's shown properly. So we have another project on our hands all of a sudden, as of 3 weeks ago. And you know, we need prayer. We need prayer. I think people should visit our website, which is silverswordintl.com. Silver like the metal and sword like the sword, the swinging sword, intl, short for international.com. We have a polling survey on there. Check it out. See if you'd like to participate. We need all the help we can if we have another project on our hands to do. And especially with prayers, we're going to make it happen. I feel that we have to make it happen. The next step is making a feature documentary on these particular scandals.
Well, you know, one of the interesting things is somebody from your organization contacted my ministry and told me about what you were up to and what your problem was. And, you know, I just wondered, do you have any idea why they happened to pick me out of all the talk show hosts? Or did you just send out emails to a lot of people across the country?
Well, the thing is, we had, we're not, Silver Sword International is a mainstream production company. Our motto happens to be merging media with morality. I happen to be a Catholic. There are Catholics, there are Christians, there are others, other faiths that work with Silver Sword International. We're not a religious company, and Intimate Fear is not a religious film. It's a mainstream family film. However, when we felt that this had such a bearing in the religious nature, we had to talk with some people who were serious and understood what was happening in the same subject matter, and we know, Dr. Stan, that you do, but we did send out as many emails and as many press releases to those folks within the Christian community, socially conscious people, who should have something to say about it, and that's essentially how we got in touch with
them. All right, how many people responded?
Well, I would say that I believe I've been on half a dozen radio shows as of in the past, I would say, 3 or 4 weeks.
Okay, that's great, and I'm glad that you got in touch with us, and I want to get you onto our other programs as well, because we do 5 hours of talk radio a day, and then we have a program on Saturday, too. But right now we've got Jerry calling. And is that Montana or Missouri you're calling from,
Missouri,
Jerry?
Missouri.
Hi, Missouri. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I have a comment, and it's probably a question. I don't know. We have an apostolate, very small, called Mary's Homestead. Okay, we try to get people to prepare all that homestead, but we have Catholic prophecy. We sell Ted Flynn's books, things like that, and that you have, you know, and we sell John Leary's books. And I wondered if he heard of him, because he told us, and he's on the internet too, and he told us about that. They are supposed to, the new churches are supposed to have the occult in them, and then when the time comes real bad, the Antichrist comes, they'll open them up. And about the traditional Mass, we live far from one, but we want to be sure. We're staying in our church. I suppose that's where he means. We're not in Mel Gibson's church yet, because we want to say in... until they change, you know, they might, Catholics have to have, at the consecration, the body and blood, you know, to say the words right. And when they change that, then we have no, well, the Catholic Church is going to go into an underground church.
Well, me very well. I think both probably
and probably we all will.
All right. I think you're absolutely right. Jerry, thank you so much for calling. And if you haven't seen that poor tape set on Malachi Martin, let me recommend that to you.
We're going to get that as soon as we can.
Okay, God bless
you. We know all about Malachi Martin, all that. We have your catalog. It's just that we don't have the money for everything.
Well, you
as we do, we'll try to get that.
God bless. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, fine. How would you respond to Jerry and what she had to say?
Well, I think her concerns are legitimate. She has an understanding of some things that most Catholics don't. I mean, most Catholics really want to sit back and accept the church for the way that it is and rely on the priests and bishops and, of course, the Vatican, which they'd like to do, but at the same time they have to think for themselves, because we're a big organization. The church, we're over 1 billion members. That's a gigantic barrel of apples, and as we know, every barrel of apples has bad apples in them. And that just means that there's a heck of a lot more bad apples in our barrel because it's so huge. So we have to make sure that more people understand that there are legitimate concerns, and they need to do their own personal investigation. They don't need to pray for themselves. They have their own individual minds, their own individual souls. They have to pray to understand the truth, and they have to look around them and see when things are going wrong. If you wonder about pedophilia, like the other gentleman who called, and homosexuality within the priesthood and these other concerns, look no further than satanic pornography and demonic imagery right smack in the artwork that's being distributed, within the church itself. I mean, even the Pope has talked about the media and to be careful with the media, for parental guidance within media. And here we have organizations associated with the church that are on their own doing this. The Pope's not, communicating with them saying, okay, let's get this stuff going. As far as the Archdiocese of Toronto is, they have their own gig, so to speak. There, they're responsible for themselves, and they're not doing a good enough job. And more people need to come out and understand that there's a traditional versus progressive war, a schism in the Catholic Church, and they have to recognize it and they have to become educated, because as we know, the harvest is great, the laborers are few. We're going to have a lot of room in heaven, it seems, if we fight the devil properly.
Amen to that. Well, look, do you know Ted Flynn that she spoke of?
No, I don't.
All right, he's a very conservative Catholic. We carry his book, Hope of the Devil, and one other book he wrote, simply going into the background of the spiritual battle. And you would read the book, if you were a Protestant, you wouldn't even know he necessarily was a Catholic at all, because he sees exactly the same problems that I do and that you do, two branches of the Christian faith, but both seeing the same problem. Would you like to just give us your final remarks there? Remember the other one somebody said is Idols of the House. That's Ted's second book. Why don't you wrap up the program in about 30 seconds?
Sure. I appreciate Dr. Stan for having me on. I'll be glad to be on your programs in the future. I invite everybody to visit our website at Silver Sword International, silversordintl.com, or call our polling lines. It's 1-888-351-5289. You'll hear a preamble. We do raise funds for various different things, emerging media with morality, through our polls.
Get that telephone number one more time.
It's 1-888-351-5289, and we're gearing this towards raising funds for, specifically, the film feature documentary on the scandals themselves.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and you know, it's so difficult for most people to understand. There really is a ruling elite that rules not only America, but the world. And they conceal themselves behind the media. You mean how often have you heard Bill Gates is the wealthiest man in the world, or Warren Buffett is the wealthiest man in the world, and balderdash. I mean, the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, but you see, they control the media, and they don't want you to know who's really pulling the strings, so they point at Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, and not that they're not fairly well-to-do, but compared with these people of really great wealth, and the Oppenheimers and some of the others, why, these people are just pikers. But the average American is not to know that. There really is a ruling elite. And if you want to get into that, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, really opens this whole story up to you. Certainly the story of the Anglo-American establishment, the book that was written by Professor Quigley, wasn't published until after his death. And the man who wrote the book, who published the book, actually used a post office box at Grand Central Station. He was quite afraid of the repercussions of anybody knowing who published the book. Tragedy and Hope, Professor Quigley's book, is available through Radio Liberty. You need to get the book. You need to get the Secret Government 4-tape set. We'll hear Professor Quigley talking about the secret society, how his book was actively suppressed right here in the United States when somebody bought up his publishing houses and then destroyed the plates to the first half of the book. You can get the Tragedy and Hope special, which is Tragedy and Hope, the book Foundations, Their Power and Influence, which changed my life 40 years ago, and, of course, the interview with Professor Quigley is the Tragedy and Hope special. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. What does this have to do with what we've been talking about today? Everything. Because these are all satanically controlled organizations. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I just have to remind all of our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is principally supported by the people who listen to our programs and believe in what we're doing. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters or subscribe to our newsletter, our number 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV. Warm. And then, if you'd like to get Ted Flynn's wonderful books, Idols in the House, he's a very conservative Catholic, or Hope of the Wicked, I think they're both excellent books. We carry a tape set by Barbara McQuiggan, and Barbara actually asked us to do this. She wanted to use this in her ministry, which is a Catholic ministry, and actually they're circulating these interviews with Barbara McQuiggan that we actually made for them, and of course her I'm just looking up the name of her. I don't see it here. Choosing Virtue. Choosing Virtue by Barbara McQuiggan, an excellent four-tape set. And then The Wisdom of Malachi Martin, let me suggest you get that. That is a fascinating four-tape set. And whether you're Catholic or Protestant, you need to understand he's talking about the satanic influence within the Catholic Church. But don't think it's just in the Catholic Church. It's in all of Christendom today. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which will introduce you to the Skull and Bones Society. We have two Skull and Bones candidates for president. Isn't that a coincidence? I wonder if that happens just by accident. And, of course, it takes you into the various secret societies, the mysterious ancient religions, the secret of the ancient religion that's been passed down for thousands of years and never written because of their fear that if it was ever discovered, the people would be executed. But we tell you what that secret is in my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, and you can get the book, the video, or the audio tape. Or you can get them all together for $29.95, and then copy the video and copy the audio tape. You can change people's lives with the truth. And our job is to disseminate the truth. Again, that's the Brotherhood of Darkness, or the Brotherhood of Darkness special. Again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. I would like, of course, to suggest you go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And, of course, you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day, either at Radio Liberty or at the Genesis or on the American Freedom Network. That's GCN Live online, or American Newsnet online, or RadioLiberty.com. Any one of those will get you to websites where you can listen to our program. They are changing the shortwave frequency again for our evening program. Now, this program, here we call it afternoon. You probably call it evening on the East Coast because it's 68 in the evening, but it's 3 to 5 here on the West Coast. But the evening program, which is 8 to 10 on the Pacific Coast and 11 to 1 on the East Coast, is changing next week to 7.315 megahertz. That's 7.315 megahertz. So please note that down when you turn on your program next week. If we're not at the regular spot, 7.535, we're at 7.315. Hope you'll listen. Hope you'll tell others, because that's how we're expanding our listening audience. And more people are listening. More and more people are learning that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. For though the cause of evil prospers, yet his truth alone is strong. For though her portion be the scaffold, and upon the throne be wrong. But that scaffold sways the future, for in the dim unknown standeth God within the shadows, keeping watch above his own. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what it's really all about. Please pray for America. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. Pray for revival, because if the people of this country don't turn back to God, why, God will never again bless this nation. And we're moving into World War III. You've got to get involved before your children and your grandchildren are drafted to die in foreign lands. And lastly, we ask you to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.